Our modern-day science fiction story set in 2018 also transports us back to 1942 and World War II. Special music for Deep Stealth has been graciously provided by Hollywood film and television composer Richard Marvin. Rick's music can be heard throughout the HBO mega hit 6 Feet Under, which was one of TV's most acclaimed drama series. Also, he composed the entire musical score for the film U-571, a submarine thriller set in World War II, and he won the BMI Film and TV Award for Best Film Music back in 2001. Our personal thanks to Rick, and I know you will enjoy his outstanding music from both U-571 and also the music in 6 Feet Under. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah Dume and McTernan, the Brown Oster Performing Arts Foundation, located in the village of Salem Lakes, and also Lake Lawn Resort here on Lake Delavan. Our radio drama today is directed by Vicki Dume.
It is present day, and the new Virginia-class stealth submarine is getting ready for its second shakedown cruise. This time, the USS Wisconsin will travel thousands of miles to the Arctic Circle, where it will stay submerged for 30 days. Andrew J. Reynolds is the Wisconsin's captain, and his number one is Commander Susan Marie Parducci, who is the first woman to serve on a submarine. Our story begins as Captain Reynolds is appearing before a special meeting in Norfolk of the Armed Services Committee of the U.S. Senate. The committee is chaired by Senator Marianne McClintock from Pennsylvania.
Will the committee please come to order? Captain Reynolds, you have stated before that the Virginia-class submarines are not only state-of-the-art, but they are absolutely essential to the security of our nation. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator. The Virginia-class submarines were designed from the ground up to operate completely undetected.
You mean stealth technology?
That is correct, Senator. The Virginia-class can carry out a number of major operations, such as being able to launch Tomahawk missiles from a vertical torpedo tube. In addition...
Captain, I understand the technology. I have read all the classified memos. I also know that each Virginia-class submarine will cost just over $2 billion. Are they really worth it? We are planning to build 30 of them.
Senator, I believe they are. As the U.S. Navy's next-generation attack submarine, the Virginia-class will provide the Navy with the capabilities it requires to maintain the nation's undersea supremacy well into the 21st century. I believe that is well worth it.
Captain, I am not questioning the need for a strong military, nor the need to have naval supremacy. What I'm questioning is why we can't use a missile defense system from space.
Georgia Senator H. Robert Craig is one of the Senate's most conservative members and is a former military war hero.
Madam Chair, we're down to 57 attack submarines, and many of our national and military leaders are really feeling the pinch. This Virginia class is paramount to preserving and restoring our submarine force levels with the right submarine to operate in the 21st century. And, Senator, no space system will ever come close to what we need, and we need it now.
Senator, I am not convinced that we need to spend $60 billion to prove that we have the biggest and the best.
Madam Chair, we've got to have the best and bigger isn't too bad either.
Captain Reynolds, I have some concerns just how capable these subs really can be.
Senator, perhaps you should spend a week on board the Wisconsin to find out what stealth really means.
Senator, I never thought about that possibility. Captain, we do allow women on subs now, don't we?
Yes, Senator, we do. Senator Snow pushed for that last year, and now it's in place. But I'm not sure you would learn anything new about the Virginia class that way, Senator.
Not to be contrary, Captain, but I sincerely think a week or two on board the Wisconsin would greatly enhance the Senator's education.
Captain, we should set that up.
Yes, Senator. Excuse me. Madam Chair, but you don't mind hot bunking, do you?
Hot bunking? What is that? Or maybe I don't really want to know.
Actually, Senator, hot bunking means that three sailors share two bunks in rotating shifts.
Madam Chair, your daddy, John Charles, and I served in the chamber for over 30 years. I think he would have told you to knock that boat cattywampus and then worry about taking on some water and what to do with it later.
I am sure the distinguished senator from Georgia will understand if I don't ask for a verbatim definition of cattywampus. In any case, Captain Reynolds, let's talk about setting up my week on board the Wisconsin.
Yes, Madam Chair. We'll clear a nice dry torpedo tube slot for you. A bit more private place to bunk, actually. Senator, we do have VIP quarters for you.
Thank you, Captain. A dry torpedo tube is fine.
Weeks later, the USS Wisconsin is preparing to shove off for its second shakedown cruise, also known as the Beta Test Run. The area chosen for this cruise is the Nansen Basin in the Arctic Ocean, and it's one of the deepest oceanic deep trenches in North America. The depth has been estimated at over 11,000 feet. Just to put that into perspective, it's 10 times the height of the Willis Tower in Chicago. Many dangerous underwater ridges are all over the Nansen Basin, so this is not the typical beta test run. Senator McClintock has already arrived, and Captain Reynolds is on the con.
Officers of the watch, prepare to execute. Look back on my mark.
Aye, sir. Look back on your mark.
Sir, depth 50 feet, speed 3 knots, heading 286. Look back, executed, and no contacts detected.
Carry on, number one. Helm, come to port 5 degrees, speed ahead 2/3, and make your depth 250 feet. Ease the bubble. Zero bubble. Set course for the Nansen Basin in the Arctic Ocean.
Aye, sir. Coming to port 5 degrees, ahead 2/3, and making my depth 250 feet. Ease the bubble. Zero bubble.
Ms. Parducci, you have the deck. I'll be in my quarters preparing for my meeting with the Most Honorable Senator.
Aye, sir. I have the deck.
XO has the con.
In his cabin, the captain is looking through some papers when there's a knock on the door.
Excuse me, Captain. Do you have a few minutes to chat?
Why, of course, Senator. I was just reading through some communication reports from the Naval Command. These can wait.
I do appreciate it, Captain.
Mary, we've known each other for over 15 years. Why don't we drop the formality when it's just the two of us?
That's fine, Andy. Let me tell you why I'm here.
Do you really need a reason? You never did before.
No, but there is a reason this time.
Okay. I assume it has something to do with the submarine funding package. I saw you on C-SPAN a few weeks ago, and I must admit, after everything your father did for the Navy when he was in the Senate, it truly surprises me that you're being so hard-nosed.
Andy, I'm being called the anti-military bitch on Limbaugh's show now. You may say hard-nosed. I prefer to say that I'm hard-boiled, more thick-skinned, you know. Oh, and God knows what the president calls me nowadays.
I've heard Rush say that about you, but Rachel Maddow and Anderson Cooper are certainly on your side. The righties on talk shows are having a field day with you. But Mary, I know you can take it. You never had a problem with being called bitchy.
Yes, I can. Too bad all you neocons have such a hard time with an assertive woman. Look how you guys treat Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris. But Andy, that's another topic for another time.
Same old Marianne. Always with that edge. So how have you been doing? Daniel's been gone for well over a year.
I'm okay. After 25 years of marriage, it's not easy.
After this shakedown cruise, we should go out to dinner. I promise not to invite Rush or Sean to join us. Excuse me for a minute. Yes, I understand. Commander, our charts are very accurate. We've crossed the Arctic Circle in 66 degrees and 33 minutes north latitude. On our way to the Nansen Basin. We'll go down to about 200 feet. Be sure to calibrate our Magellan Global Position System every hour. We can never be overly accurate. Okay. Thank you, Commander.
Andy, will we get a chance to see the porcupine caribou herd? They were featured on a PBS special last year.
We might. This must be where you started hawking at me about ANWR, right?
Andy, you know I would never do that. Drilling, I'm sorry you guys call it exploration, will be a good thing. I better get to my cabin and prepare for your briefing in an hour.
Okay. Let me get you some information on that caribou herd. We can pick up satellite tracking data, and I'll have the Caribou Science Officer beam into your VDCC. Maybe you'd like to hop off at our Arctic Circle's Ops Center and we can pick you up on the way back.
VDCC? What the hell is that? Oh, and Andy, I think I'll pass on hopping off the boat. The chow is probably better here anyway.
Guess you're not a Star Trek fan. That's the Visual Display Communication Center. The controls are on your built-in laptop. That's where you can check your email.
Andy, you have always been so good at that techno-geek sub-talk. I may have to check my email, and if I have time, I'll look at the sat tracking data.
Aye, aye, Senator. See you in the briefing on. See you in the briefing room at 1300 hours. That's 1 p.m.
Thank you, Captain.
Captain has the con.
What's our status, Commander?
Captain, I think that we should take a look at this right here. I don't understand. Where is Officer Thompson, anyway?
Con
he should
room,
be here.
Radio room, squawk on the ELF with our ID.
Radio room, con I. Officer of the watch, make your depth 300 feet. Speed ahead, 2/3.
Aye, sir. Making my depth 300 feet. Speed ahead, 2/3.
What the hell is going on? This is supposed to be a quiet day. Sonar, con, what's on your screen, Lieutenant Thompson?
Sir, we have two Akula-class subs, one off port, one 1,000 yards ahead of us.
Are these the new generation Akula-class twos?
Aye, Captain. Both subs have their sonar jamming devices active.
Commander Parducci, activate our advanced C-31 systems and make sure the Akula-Nixie stealth torpedo tubes are still closed.
Oh, aye, aye, Captain. Weapons officer, what's the web status of the Akula off our port? I want to know all the details.
Aye, aye, Commander. The off-port Akula has all six hatches armed and ready with two shipwreck missiles under each hatch.
Webs, con, arm our Tomahawk cruise missiles in tubes 2, 4, 6, and 9, and advanced sonar phasing of two UUVs just in case.
UUVs? What are those, Captain?
Senator McClintock, I didn't see you. UUVs are unmanned undersea vehicles, and they allow a sub to safely gain access to denied access areas and extend the reach of our platforms while reducing the risk of the sub and its crew.
And the translation is?
Well, ma'am, I think the captain is trying to say that there are four new classes of UUVs that can share data and capabilities with each other, creating a larger network and kill chain. They are already operative for mine clearing operations.
Senator, I think the commander explained it quite nicely. She also left out one key point, which you should really like. The UUVs have a modular design so components can be shared between modules, therefore cutting down costs.
I like the sound of that. How many millions of dollars per unit, Captain?
Actually, they're about 150,000 each, and they only weigh 240 pounds each.
Good numbers. But the Navy has ordered, I believe, 2,000 of them. I won't take the time to explain with...
What the hell? Why did the lights go on? What happened to my comms system?
Sonar, sweep shows no contacts, and the interplate seismicity in the mid-Arctic earthquake belt is negative. Just a heavy electromagnetic surge belt we went through.
Officer of the watch, what's the surface doing? And let's check on that EMS belt we just went through.
Sir, no surface of airborne vehicles visible. Sea state 4, mild swell from the northwest. Cloud cover 4/10. And, sir, nothing on our high-def magnetic sensors. Not even a magnetic sensor trail. Like it was never there.
And we're not sitting right on top of some volcano, right?
That's affirmative, sir. We are not. Con, sonar. Splashes in the water astern.
Sonar, con, report.
Con, sonar, 4 airdropped Aztec buoys astern of us bearing 187 to 241. Estimate buoys are operating in an omnidirectional search mode. Captain, damn. What is that? Con, sonar.
Sonar, con, report.
Captain, you will not believe this. All computer screens went dark just before the level 5 power surge with overriding arcs, and then everything recycled back to acceptable op levels. Now, sonar is picking up my computer, something that's called level 2 Aphrodite deception device.
What? That was used 60 years ago, on U-boats.
Captain, as you notice, I'm still here and I'm very confused.
You are? That makes two of us, Senator.
Captain, my computer screen is analyzing this as the type of equipment used in the class submarines to combat aircraft radar and hydrogen balloons.
Sonar, check our two mass-mounted high-data rate multi-band satellite communication systems in both SHF and EHF.
Aye, aye, Captain. Sat links are still down, Captain. Sat tech are running at level 4 and 5 diagnostic.
Sonar, report back the status when you run the data phasers and the sat link-ups.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Captain, all external sensors are operational except for the sat link. Our bow-mounted active and passive arrays are operational at 100%. And the wide-aperture passive array on flank and the high-frequency active arrays on keel and fin are running at fiber optic levels.
What about BQQ?
BQQ and our BPS-16 navigational radar are all operating at I-bands. There is no reason why we cannot get out sat links. And there was a huge electromagnetic power surge that skewed the main gyro and created a number of anomalies. Too numerous to mention at this point. It's quite confusing, and Intel is analyzing.
Commander, I don't want non-answers from you. Get me ops numbers now. Not a scorecard on anomalies. Commander, lock in and save our last known coordinates and energy settings. We may need to get back there.
As the Wisconsin command crew try and sort out all of the electronic malfunctions, or shall we call them anomalies, Senator McClintock is still on the bridge and has not left the captain's side during all the turmoil.
Commander, stand by the surface. Conning officer, rig the bow planes and increase the speed to 6 knots. I'll be on the bridge.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Captain, I won't even ask what's going on. All I see are those computer screens blinking on and off, and the only thing I can think is to hit Control, Alt, and Delete, and then reboot.
As the captain prepares his climb up to the bridge, Seaman Jorge Dominguez is listening to his music sat feed in the break room.
Dude, Lady Gaga really rocks. Her music speaks to me, Seaman Curtis, even in my dreams.
You are so right, man. Can you imagine if we didn't have our sat feed music?
Don't you know it? I also think that...
What the hell? Get that off the speaker, man.
And up on the bridge, Captain Reynolds is scanning the horizon for any ships while listening to his commander rattle off more electronic and technological problems, including some unusual broadcasts coming over the sat feed.
I speak to you for the first time as Prime Minister.
And then, Captain, something very strange.
What is it, Susan? How strange?
Music, sir, and news reports.
What's so strange about that? I heard Lady Gaga on the radio the other day.
No, I'm talking about the Andrews sisters, Glenn Miller, and what happens, and what appeared to be live news broadcasts from London during the Blitzkrieg, and speeches by Hitler and Churchill and well, one other thing.
I'm almost afraid to ask at this point, but go ahead anyway.
The dates on all of our anti-submarine warfare and covert intelligence arrays have the same date.
And something tells me, Susan, that it is not November 10th, 2018. Please tell me I'm not correct.
November 10th, 1942. That's the date.
Commander, as our chief science officer, I want you to determine our present coordinates and place us in deep stealth mode at all levels. Place the boat on level CQ112 alert mode and run all level 1 diagnostics. Save all information in both digital and analog formats.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Take us down, Commander, to 200 feet. All ahead, 1/4 speed.
As the USS Wisconsin crew runs every level 1 diagnostic, the boat is completely invisible to all sonar and is now at 200 feet below the surface of the North Atlantic. Meanwhile, more than 20 German U-boats, making up the infamous Admiral Karl Dönitz Wolfpack off the east coast of the U.S., were within 4 miles of the stealthily cloaked USS Wisconsin. The German commander of U-boat 202, Hans Linder, shouts out his commands to the officer of the watch.
Officer of the watch, on my mark, sonar pings to provide a complete scan of the sector. 3, 2, 1, mark.
Commander, all acoustic and ambient sonar scans are negative.
And what about the anechoic target scans?
As Commander Linder is ordering the sonar scans, Captain Reynolds is making sure that the Wisconsin is sending back a sonar signature that resembles an underwater rock formation.
Commander Parducci, recalibrate our logical threat identification and generate countermeasure responses and send them back to all those damn U-boats.
Aye, aye, Captain. Officer of the watch, on my mark, recalibrate the electronic warfare threat simulation and validation packages. In 3, 2, 1, mark. Captain, calibrations are complete. Internal ops are up and running, and our communication links to radio transmitters are reading 5x5.
Good work, Commander. U-202, you know what they're doing on the East Coast, don't you?
Yes, sir. Operation Pastorius. I just did a scan of our databanks, and it says the goal of Pastorius was to strike industrial targets crucial to the war effort. 2 teams of 4 Nazi saboteurs would land, the first at East Hampton, the second at Pontevedra Beach, north of St. Augustine, Florida. And then, working independently, they will attack some aluminum plants, several key railroad bridges and tunnels, and then cripple American war production.
Well, they were all captured and some were even executed.
But what if they weren't captured?
Senator? Oh, screw it. Marianne, I didn't mean to ignore you. I'm sorry.
Would someone please explain to me what's going on?
You won't believe this, Senator. I don't believe it. But somehow we've surfaced in November and it's 1942.
Oh, that's impossible.
Nevertheless, all our scientific indicators show that we're in the Atlantic and we're within 5,000 yards of a German wolf pack.
I wasn't even born then.
None of us were.
Well, this is too bizarre, too unbelievable. 1942 was my father's first year as a congressman. We've got to get out of here. We've got to get back.
I'm working on it. You always get this way. Relax, please. Here, I'm telling you to relax while our sub's sitting in the North Atlantic. It's 1942, and a bunch of U-boats want to have us for a snack.
Andy, you are the captain, so you have to get us out of here.
Senator, I'm trying to do just that.
So now I should trust you. Why?
Because you have no choice. Marianne, please go back to your cabin. I'll give you a full report later today, if that's okay with the distinguished senator.
Of course. Now, I have to think about what I might say to my father, if I get a chance to talk to him. He was barely 30 years old, or I guess I should say he is barely 30 years old today.
I do think, Senator, that we should talk about that, in terms of how it might affect the future.
As the captain and senator continue to talk about time travel, those treacherous U-boats are still in the area and getting closer and closer to the Wisconsin. And on board U-boat 202, Commander Linder is becoming suspicious of the sonar scans his boat and the rest of the wolf pack are getting. Something doesn't seem right.
Lieutenant, have you checked our sonar deflector calibrations to make sure all settings are accurate?
Commander, I've run the whole checklist and just received the results. Everything is set properly and all information is accurate.
I don't care what your readings indicate. I can smell an American sub out there. I can feel it.
Commander, should I order depth charges laid down on the east, west, and the north-south coordinates?
Yes, and have them locate coordinate points within an inner circle as well. It's there. I want to make sure we only have to blow it up once.
Aye, aye, Commander. I'll give you status reports as usual.
As the U-boat Wolfpack prepares to drop depth charges locking in on the coordinates of the Wisconsin, Captain Reynolds has already ordered the sub out of the area. Obviously, the U-boat can't track the sub because of its stealth capabilities. It's now time for the Wisconsin to decide whether or not it will make its presence known to 1942 U.S. naval operations.
Commander Parducci, can we set up a traditional shortwave transmission?
Yes, sir. We can do it at radio signals below 50 kilohertz, which works as long as we don't submerge deeper than 200 meters.
Okay. Let's contact Naval Ops in Washington. Get a hold of Admiral Ernest J. King of the 10th Fleet.
The 10th Fleet?
Yes, the 10th Fleet. It was created exclusively to fight U-boats, and it never went to sea because it had no ships.
Sir, no ships? Can we contact them? And if so, where?
They're in what was an old Navy Department building on Constitution Avenue in D.C. I've been there many times.
Did you ever meet the Admiral?
Commander, the Admiral died in 1956. Now, how the hell could I have met him? And furthermore, in what I've read about him, he once said in the winner of the fight, the winner of a fight hits and keeps on hitting, even though he has to be able to take some stiff blows in order to keep on hitting.
Sounds like your kind of admiral, sir. Sir, shall we prepare for depth charges, since that's what the Germans usually did when they thought an American sub was nearby?
Yes, I know. Also, Commander, the only person I will talk to at Navy Ops is the Admiral. You understand? No one else.
Aye, sir.
And Commander?
Yes, sir.
When you contact Ops and speak directly with the Admiral, say you are Susan Marie Parducci and that you are working with Station X, Bletchley Park, Hut 8. Code word clearance, JN25.
Hut 8?
Yes. That was exclusively for naval code breaking at Bletchley. Hut 8. The deciphers were broken there. Ever been there? Oh, by the way, be sure to get me those printouts I requested. The personal letter to FDR and the Cleveland Indians material. Also, let me have a copy of the other materials. You know, the stuff that had everything that I needed to, organize.
As Commander Parducci prepares to make the most important telephone call of her life, U-boat Commander Linder is reading an important communique from Nazi Command Headquarters. The communique instructs Commander Linder to break off from searching for the American sub, so U-202...
U-202 should break off and begin to head back to Atlantic Shipping Lane 6 Alpha. Chief of the watch, Schmidt, change our heading to 169. All ahead, full.
Sir, change the heading? What about the American submarine? It's still out there, sir.
Yes, I know. We've been ordered to leave this area and protect our Enigma codebooks, along with the four additional Enigma machines we're transporting to our 6 Alpha fleet.
And as U-boat 202 heads out of the area, on the USS Wisconsin, Commander Parducci is putting her call into Admiral Ernest J. King of the 10th Fleet, the fleet without a single floating vessel. Commander Parducci has set her shortwave radio to 4.702 megahertz. This is shortwave frequency for Navy anti-submarine warfare in the Atlantic.
Pan. Urgent message for Admiral King on this frequency, 4.702 megahertz.
Go ahead, over.
Roger, a special tagged message for the Admiral, for his ears only. Headsets security required. Clearance, Tango, Lima, Zulu, come back.
Wait out, Admiral King is on call. Hold.
As Commander Parducci is on a wait-out, which is code for a longer pause and do not transmit, Admiral King has just gotten off the telephone with Harry Hopkins from the White House.
Thank you, sir. This is Admiral King. Go ahead. Over.
Admiral, this is Miss Parducci. Admiral, are you on headsets? And is this call secure?
Yes, Miss Parducci. This is very unorthodox. And how did you get the special reserved frequency?
Sir, please hold for Captain Andrew J. Reynolds of the USS Wisconsin.
Miss Parducci, the USS Wisconsin hasn't even been commissioned.
Yes, sir, I know that. Captain Earl Everett Stone will be the first captain, and the ship will be commissioned 16 April 1944.
I won't even ask you how you know that, especially since I just received that information from Naval Ops. Put Captain Reynolds on, whoever the hell he is.
Admiral, Captain Reynolds here, sir.
Captain, what the hell is this all about?
Admiral, Lorain, Ohio is very proud of you, and the Cleveland Indians did pretty well this year.
Get to the point.
Admiral, I am the captain of the Virginia-class submarine, the USS Wisconsin. Code clearance, Tango, Zulu, Alpha, 617.
Captain, I understand your clearance code designation. What else?
Admiral, has the President responded to your birthday letter? The one where you say, it appears proper that I should bring to your notice the fact that the record shows that I shall attain the age of 64 years 1 month from today.
Okay, Captain, you have my attention.
Yes, sir.
I just sent that to the President yesterday.
Yes, sir. Harry Hopkins personally gave it to the President.
Go on.
Do I need to give you the scores for the last game of your beloved Cleveland Indians?
No. Just give it to me straight on, Captain. Stop being coy. I don't have time for this.
Admiral, we're from 2018. Our sub is self-adapted and cannot be detected.
You are the sub that U-Boat 202 gave up on, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Do you know why?
Yes. They have the five Enigma machines. One they are using with all up-to-date cribs. The others are going to their comm wing group.
What can you tell me that I don't know?
Convoy PQ-17. That's what you don't know.
Hold on. I just saw the paperwork on that convoy. Here it is. PQ-17 just left Mosfellsbær, Iceland, and is headed northward. What do you know?
That it's a huge convoy with ships.
What do you mean?
It had, or I should say has, 35 ships, Admiral, along with 297 aircraft, 594 tanks, and 4,246 military trucks.
I knew that. I am always the one who asks the question. Show me numbers, man. The numbers!
You were checking me out, weren't you, sir?
Yes. And I'm not called the sly old fox for anything.
I'm sure you want to know more about our new Virginia-class submarine.
No. Actually, I want to hear about Convoy PQ-17. So tell me, Captain, how many will be lost?
Admiral, 177 men are killed.
Captain, I have been taking everything you have been saying at face value. I am the number one cynic here at Naval Ops. But I believe you to be telling me the truth, bizarre as it seems.
You have not asked me the 10-word question.
You mean, so what can we do to stop this convoy attack?
Impressive.
I don't give a damn about impressive. I want to change history, and more importantly, the lives of 177 men.
Admiral King wants to change history. But does he or anyone really know what changing history might have on not only World War II, but perhaps on the future of the world? In the meantime, Senator McClintock is getting restless and has finally decided to make the move to contact her father, who's a member of the U.S. House of Representatives and later becomes one of the most influential U.S. senators. But she first has to get past the stubborn armor of Captain Reynolds. They're both on the con.
Captain, I need code clearance to contact the House Armed Services Committee Chair.
Why do you need that?
I need to talk to Congressman McClintock.
Need to?
Okay. I want to talk to him.
Marianne, just what do you want to tell him? That you are his daughter, who is not born yet, and you just got beamed back to 1942?
Andy, I'm not going to screw up the whole time-space thing that I remember from some of those sci-fi movies, whatever all that really means. The Caribou Reserve would probably be a much better place for me right now.
Maybe so, but that's not in our daily ops plan for today. I'll get the communication sequence set up for you to talk to the congressman. God knows what that conversation will be like.
Thanks, Andy. I'll put together some safe things to talk about. Andy, where is all this going?
Marianne, pretend like it's one of those filibusters you senators used to have before you did away with them.
Thanks, Andy.
Report on status of secure SW3 communications link to the U.S. Capitol Building, House of Representatives. Link 8, Alpha Zulu 40.
Hi, Commander. Report links are 5x5 at sideband frequency 62.6 kilohertz.
Affirmative. Hold that frequency and secure with multipath firewalls. Sequences 5, 7, and 9. And Mr. Thompson, make sure the proper sound filters are in place to emulate a true RF shortwave transmission.
The scene is set. Senator McClintock will now talk to her father, a brand new United States congressman. The big question is, will Senator McClintock perhaps bend the time-space continuum? The call, crossing the frames of time, has been placed. So let's listen in.
Good morning. This is Marianne Lancaster. Is Congressman McClintock in? I'm a constituent of his from Scranton. Yes, I will hold. Thank you. This is so bizarre.
Hello, this is John McClintock. May I help you, young lady?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call. Kathleen Franklin from the Scranton City Council sends her best regards to you.
Oh, you know Kathleen. She is such a wonderful person. Be sure to give her my regards.
I will, Congressman. I need to ask you a question.
Certainly. What is it?
Kathleen told me that you have an original 1885 edition of Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn.
Yes, I do. It's a real treasure.
Congressman, I hope you don't think it's strange when I ask you, do you still have the special page marker you got from President Roosevelt?
Why, yes, I do. I got it from the president just after I won the special election for my congressional seat.
Yes, I know. And you have it inserted at page 88?
Young lady, you are correct. But I must ask you, how do you know that? I have never talked to anyone about that, except my wife. Tell me now, how do you know this information?
Well, let me just say this. I know it to be true, and there is a lot more I know.
Miss Lancaster, just who are you? And what do you want from me?
You need to listen very carefully. When you run for the U.S. Senate, you need to be very ready for the allegations that will be made against you by Governor Jim Duff. Don't let him get away with it.
Miss Lancaster, you seem to know what is going to happen 8 years from now. How is that possible?
Congressman McClintock, one last thing before I must disconnect. When you talk with Secretary of War Stimson next week, be sure to ask him to send legations officers to Bletchley Park outside of London and have him talk to Dr. Alan Turing and David Whitehead about the computers and suggest they add a fourth wheel to the Enigma machine.
Miss Lancaster, I have made a note of that. Anything else before you have to go?
Yes. Make sure the Brits are at Port Said in the Mediterranean on U-boat 559. We'll have the most up-to-date Enigma machine and code books. And in case you might be questioning the accuracy of this information, German submarine U-559 was a Type 7C U-boat. It was laid down on 1st February 1940 at the shipyards in Hamburg at yard number 535. And finally, she was launched on 8 January 1941 and commissioned on 27 February under Captain Hans Heitzman.
Thank you, Miss Lancaster. By the way, what is your first name?
It's Marianne. Two words, not one, and no E in Anne.
I don't know how you have all this information, but God bless you.
Thank you, Congressman. Remember my name.
I will. No E in Anne.
Okay. Thanks, Dad. Dad?
Marianne, he's gone. The signal was lost. He never heard your last transmission. But he did hear the important details about U-559.
Okay. Okay.
Officer of the watch, recalibrate our coordinates.
Aye, Captain. Coordinates are being recalibrated. And, Captain, shall we change our heading?
Officer of the watch. Helm, come to port 15 degrees. Speed ahead 2/3 and make your depth 200 feet. Zero down bubble.
Aye, Captain. Helm, come to port 15 degrees. Speed ahead 2/3 and make your depth 200 feet. Zero down bubble.
Marianne, let's get this boat home.
Andy, I agree. Let's do it.
As the USS Wisconsin is steaming back to the coordinates where that electromagnetic power surge first took place, the Americans and our British allies are already making plans to intercept more of those deadly German U-boats running their East Coast gauntlet during the Battle of the North Atlantic. The U-boats would soon no longer be a threat to our seagoing convoys. The Enigma Code would be broken at Bletchley Park outside of London, and the Allies would continue to win major victories in Europe and in the Far East. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin has reached the location in the Arctic where our story began. Returning to 2018 remains the hope of the crew and of Senator McClintock. Commander Susan Parducci has good news for Captain Reynolds.
Captain, we are entering coordinates 66 degrees and 33 minutes north latitude. Our deep-sea sensors and computer-generated models are indicating that the surges in the electromagnetic fields are intensifying.
That is good news, Commander. Prepare the boat for 3rd and 4th degree shock waves. It's going to be a bumpy ride. This is the captain. Prepare for shock waves. Secure the boat for deep dive. Sonar, give continuous alerts and status.
Captain, we are back. All computer sensors and every data server indicates it is November 10th, 2018. Indicators also show that our sat links are up and running 5x5.
To the crew of the USS Wisconsin, prepare to surface. It is November 10th, and the year is 2018.
And this has been Deep Stealth, an original World War II drama, which was created and written by Steve Brown and Mike Ostrup. Our stars today from the 91.1 players in this program, which was directed by Vicky Dumay, in reverse alphabetical order, Kathy Zulke, Cameron Spencer, Larry Rowe, Janelle Powers, Susan Lean, Brett Hodeck, Todd Eves, Siegfried Christoph, Renee Bouchel, and Mike Bovito. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah Dumay and McTernan, the Brown Oster Performing Arts Foundation, and from Lakelawn Resort in beautiful Delavan, Wisconsin. Once again, special thanks go to award-winning composer Richard Marvin, whose incredible musical score from the hit movie U-571 was used throughout the broadcast. In addition, we also thank Jonathan Mostow, writer and director of the hit movie U-571, directed by Universal Studios, who graciously allowed us to use the music from this motion picture. Our next radio show will be on December the 8th of 2018 here at Lakelawn Resort. The Stage Door Canteen will have live music from the Dixie Dudes, Bill's Little Big Band, the Riverport Chorus Sweet Adeline Singers. And also, let's also remember that tomorrow, November the 11th, is Veterans Day. And that was determined Veterans Day and originally Armistice Day by President Woodrow Wilson back in 1919. for the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players, I'm Steve Brown.